40 greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young this week. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Well, the stars have aligned for sports fans here in the United States with three major sports events happening within a 24-hour period. The NCAA Women's Basketball Championship, which took place last night in Dallas, Texas. The NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, which is set for tonight in Glendale, Arizona. And opening day today for the 2017 Major League Baseball season. Earlier today, I spoke with Dan Friedel of VOA Learning English about all the excitement surrounding these big sports moments. So let's start with the ladies, Dan. The NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament wrapping up over the weekend. Last night, the big winner, South Carolina. But even before that, in the Final Four, a shocking upset with the University of Connecticut women losing on a buzzer beater to Mississippi State.
Yes, Andrew. The University of Connecticut was the juggernaut of college basketball on the women's side for, let's say, almost 20 years. I mean, going into this weekend, we found out that Rebecca Lobo, who was a center and a really good player for the University of Connecticut teams, just when they were beginning their championship runs in the late 1990s, was elected to the Naismith Hall of Fame, which is the Hall of Fame for both professional and college basketball in the U.S. And it was seeming like a foregone conclusion that the University of Connecticut would be in the championship game once again. They had over 100 consecutive victories, and they got knocked off by Mississippi State. It was a huge upset, really a close game, down to the wire, buzzer-beating shot, and everybody was really stunned when they woke up on Saturday morning. You know, Saturday morning was April 1st, and that's known as April Fool's Day in some places. And so I was looking on social media on Saturday morning, and people were saying, I can't believe that University of Connecticut lost. It must be an April Fool's joke. Then they click forward and look at the box score, and they see that it really was true.
Yeah, it was. I think the betting odds had UConn going into that game the 1-10 favorite, not just to win that game, but to win the whole championship. So really a big surprise. But the flip side of that, great win for Mississippi State. They had never made it past the Sweet 16 before. They went on to the final to play South Carolina, another team making their first final appearance, and South Carolina was the team that prevailed.
Yeah, South Carolina, I mean, they have a great recent history of being a very strong program. They have Dawn Staley as their head coach, who was a star player at the University of Tennessee during her playing days, and one of the best players in the women's NBA in the U.S. for a long time. She takes over as the coach, and you know, she's running a great program there. They've had a lot of success. They get great players coming through there, but they can't get over the hump. Finally, they have a chance to get into the finals, and they get a chance to play a team that they're familiar with in Mississippi State. I mean, they're both from the same conference. They've seen each other a lot. They must have, you know, familiar players to each other. When you go up against University of Connecticut, it is really like that David versus Goliath feeling. I mean, even if on paper the players are both really good, and you know, there's a star player on Connecticut and a star player on South Carolina, the fact that the University of Connecticut has this big aura about them as this championship team, that's worth a few points. So South Carolina gets into the championship game, and they really didn't have that much trouble with Mississippi State. I mean, a lot of people were surprised, but South Carolina has been a strong team for a number of years. They were the more proven team of the two.
And it's one of those teams, like you said, with that David versus Goliath, always kind of a runner-up to Connecticut in some fashion. They had never made it to the final before. They had only gotten to the Final Four, but always hitting that Connecticut wall. And without that there, they were able to seize on that opportunity.
Well, if you look at the scores with the Mississippi State and Connecticut game, I mean, you had a great player from Mississippi State who had a huge game in the run-up to the semifinal, and she had trouble getting going. There were a lot of stories today about how come she wasn't in the game. And she herself said that she was tired out. She was a little overwhelmed by the atmosphere, and South Carolina was able to take advantage of that and get their first championship. So really, it's an interesting thing, because in the past, the women's championship game came the day after the men's championship game, and it really wasn't in the spotlight anymore. A lot of people saw that the men's championship was like the culmination of the season, and then the women's game was kind of an afterthought. So it's great that there is a chance for people to focus on the women's championship game before the men's game, and that gave it a little extra time in the spotlight.
Yeah, and especially to celebrate a brand new first-time champion on the women's side. Now, you mentioned the men's tournament. Of course, they will play tonight in the final. Saturday night was the final four for the men, with the University of North Carolina beating Oregon and Gonzaga defeating South Carolina. So South Carolina, unfortunately for them, won't win the men's and women's tournaments, as UConn has done in the past. UConn's the only school to do that. But two close games on Saturday in the final four, closer than I think a lot of people expected.
I would say so. I mean, you look at Gonzaga. They're a team from the far northwestern part of the U.S. in Spokane, Washington, not known as a basketball hotbed except for the NBA Hall of Famer John Stockton, who is well known for his very short shorts deep into the 1980s. He was their number one player, really, in the history of their program. And Mark Few, who is the coach at Gonzaga, has done a great job of elevating that team into one of the best in the country. But going into the tournament, there were a lot of skeptics about Gonzaga. They said that they played in a weak conference, that they didn't go up against really difficult competition. They only had one loss during the season, which you think would be one of these bona fide credentials. But the fact that people were saying, oh, they're not playing the same competition as those teams in the ACC or the Big Ten all season long. They're not battle-tested. And, you know, for a good stretch, people were kind of vindicated. I mean, they almost lost a couple of weeks ago to really, I think, the team that captured a lot of hearts in the NCAA tournament. They almost lost to Northwestern. And Northwestern is the school in Chicago that's known more for its academics than its athletics. It was the only team in the Big Ten Conference, which is one of the powerful college sports conferences in the U.S., to never have made the NCAA tournament. They finally make it basically like in the week before the tournament starts, lock in their position. They have an exciting game against Vanderbilt where they nearly lose, except for the fact that the Vanderbilt player kind of made a mental error and kept Northwestern in the game late. And then in this game against Gonzaga, Northwestern is in it at the very end, and there's a controversial call where Gonzaga's, you know, one of their tall players jumps up to try to block the shot and puts his hand through the basket and knocks the shot away from underneath the basket out of the rim.
Just for the record, not allowed.
Not allowed.
But was not called.
And the Northwestern coach has a fit and comes onto the floor, and he gets a technical foul, and Northwestern ends up getting further ahead Gonzaga gets further ahead so that Northwestern can't really make its last chance at a comeback. And here Gonzaga is in the championship game for the first time after a pretty exciting game against South Carolina.
Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, Gonzaga is one of those teams where a lot of people have them going out early in the bracket. I was one of them, and I was proven very much wrong, and that's why I didn't win my bracket pool. But on this theme of Davids and Goliaths, Gonzaga's kind of the David. North Carolina is the Goliath. I mean, they were the runner-up last year, nearly won the tournament last year, if not for that winning buzzer-beater shot from Villanova, and they're making yet another trip to the final.
I mean, I was looking at the Villanova-North Carolina the last minute or so of the game from a year ago. I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking, wow, North Carolina has just made this shot. They're going to win the game. And then next thing you know, Villanova, as time is running out, makes the basket to win the whole thing. It's a really exciting finish. I mean, the kind of thing that where people after that game were saying it was the best championship game ever. Of course, that's maybe some recency bias. I mean, people like to talk about the 1980s game where Jim Valvano from North Carolina State is running around looking for somebody to hug after they defeated the University of Houston. But North Carolina is like, again, it's one of these situations where North Carolina, I mean, that's the home of Michael Jordan. That's the team that defeated the Fab Five Michigan team in the 90s. That's the team that keeps on winning championships. That's the team where Dean Smith, you know, brought the program up from obscurity and made it one of the best in the country and developed this amazing rivalry between North Carolina and Duke, you know, two schools in North Carolina that are just a few miles apart from each other. And they're playing against Gonzaga. So North Carolina, I mean, we talked about it earlier with the University of Connecticut. North Carolina has been there before. They're accustomed to playing these big games with huge crowds. We'll see what ends up happening tonight with the game between North Carolina and Gonzaga. But, I mean, North Carolina almost didn't make it into the championship game. They won by 1 point. I mean, North Carolina was way ahead in the game, and Oregon managed to come back and make it really close. Came down to a couple of free throws at the end where Oregon wasn't able to get the rebound, and North Carolina was able to hold on to the ball and run out the clock. So, you know, sometimes these Final Four games, the national semifinals, are really exciting, and the championship game is kind of a letdown because the two teams have expended all of this energy and they only have about 24 hours to rest. So we'll see what happens tonight. It could be either a great game or it could be, you know, a blowout by North Carolina or Gonzaga. One of the teams might really have trouble regrouping and getting ready for the championship game.
The thing I find fascinating about these two teams is that they are both number one seeds in the tournament, but perhaps the two number one seeds that had a lot of question marks. North Carolina, people said, should have been a two seed because they didn't win the ACC tournament. Duke did, so they thought Duke, having a better record, should have been the one seed. And as you said, Gonzaga, not being from a major conference, not having to face that strong competition from other very strong teams throughout the country, a lot of people saying that they should not have been a one seed. Well, those two teams proved everybody wrong, and they're the two that are in the final.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where you look at the bracket in early March and you say, okay, this team's going to be that team and this next team is going to be that team. And a lot of people, they shy away from picking these top seeds because they think, oh, you know, something crazy is going to happen and the top seeds are going to get upset. And here we actually have, you know, of the 64, you know, final 64 teams, they're broken up into four groups of 16. And two number ones make it into the championship. That doesn't happen all the time. It happens occasionally. So, I mean, for example, I was looking for Villanova to repeat, and they went out early.
I think a lot of people were. Especially in my bracket pool, there were about half of the people in the pool picked Villanova to repeat. And then they go out in the second round to Wisconsin. So it's, you know, any game, anything can happen in any game, I guess.
Right. So, I mean, it's almost as surprising that there are two number ones in the final than not having two number ones in the final. So, it you know, on paper, I mean, they both should be fairly even, but I'm going to have to give my edge to North Carolina just because they do have the experience.
Yeah, well, we'll see tonight in Glendale, Arizona when they play that game. But also today, in addition to the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it is a big sports day here in the U.S. It is opening day for Major League Baseball. It's kind of a misnomer because it's opening day, except for last night when there were three games going on yesterday afternoon into yesterday evening.
I mean, it's an example of these sports organizations trying to kind of capture the mind share in the U.S. when there's, I mean, for example, on the Sunday before the Final Four game, there used to not be that much going on. Of course, we had an exciting women's championship game. So that Sunday before the Final Four has been kind of an empty space on the calendar. So Major League Baseball, a number of years ago, started playing the Sunday night featured game, a national game of the night or of the week on Sunday night, to kind of be a what do they call it? Amuse-bouche in French, right? So sort of an
something to whet the appetite ahead of the big kickoff.
And so now they have three games going on. The first game was the, you know, famous American sports team, the New York Yankees. I mean, you can go around the world and see New York Yankees hats. And the Yankees lost to the Tampa Bay Rays in the first game, which was Sunday afternoon. In that game, Chris Archer, who's the Tampa Bay number one pitcher, who had a really difficult season last year after establishing himself as a good pitcher in Major League Baseball the couple of years before, was the game winner. Tampa Bay's Evan Longoria hit a home run, and the Yankees, you know, a lot of people are looking for the Yankees as maybe a wild card team in the American League this year. They have some exciting young players, and maybe they don't quite have the pressure that they've had in the past as these Yankees teams with star players like Mariano Rivera and Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill, you know,
go on and on. This is the list.
You know, Babe Ruth, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, this is actually a year where the Yankees might be a little bit under the radar. They have a lot of young players in important positions. They have a few veterans. The Yankees could get it together and make a run toward the end of the season. We'll have to see about that, you know, coming up in September when we probably talk about baseball again. And then there was an afternoon National League game between the San Francisco Giants, who are perennially one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. I mean, they have 3 World Series in the last 8 years, 9 years, going back to their first championship in recent memory. Madison Bumgarner, who was the hero of the World Series 3 years ago when the Giants defeated the Kansas City Royals to win the World Series, Bumgarner comes out of the bullpen at the end of the game, and Game 7 gets out all the Royals players, and the Giants are able to hold on and win that game. He gets 11 strikeouts in the game. He hits 2 home runs in the game. I mean, this is what these guys are doing in July. The fact that he's able to pull it off on April 2nd is pretty amazing. But then the turnaround is that Arizona Diamondbacks, which is the team that, you know, nobody really thinks about when they think about Major League Baseball, they managed to rally at the end of the game and win 6-5, defeating the closer for the Giants, the new closer who they signed from the Washington Nationals in the offseason, and the Giants are disappointed on the first day of the season. So that was kind of an interesting finish.
Well, that's the good thing, at least, is that it's the first day, so there are 161 other games that they can look forward to.
Exactly, exactly. And then in the nightcap, you had the World Series champion, defending champion, Chicago Cubs, something that they haven't been able to say for about 100 years, and they go up against their, you know, nearly in-state rival. I mean, just down the highway, St. Louis Cardinals. And the Cardinals end up winning with a walk-off hit at the end of the game. Really, it's one of these things that is an exciting finish. I mean, even looking at the box score here, the Cubs were down 3-0. They come back with 3 runs in the top of the 9th, and then the Cardinals walk it off at the end of the bottom of the 9th to end the game. So pretty exciting start. You know, 2 out of 3 games, really good games to start the season in Major League Baseball, and then I think there's 11 games today.
Yeah, so kicking off in earnest today, and you're actually heading to Nationals Park here in Washington a little later today, and we'll talk about that more on the show tomorrow, and talk about tomorrow what you do there and how you're helping in the grand scheme of baseball kicking off today here in the nation's capital. But as we wrap up here, I'm going to put you on the spot for 2 questions. I'm going to make you look into the crystal ball, near-term crystal ball and the long-term crystal ball. You said tonight, Gonzaga, North Carolina, who do you think wins and how much do you think they win by? Is it going to be a blowout? Is it going to be a close game like we've seen in the Final Four?
I wish I had an answer for the margin of victory. I mean, North Carolina is a small favorite based on the betting odds in Las Vegas. And I think that's probably what I'll go with, North Carolina by 3 or 4 points. I mean, the North Carolina does have this intangible aspect to their team, which is the fact that they have, you know, they're one of these really established teams in college sports. They, you know, they have to compete against the number one teams like Kentucky and Duke, but they're in the upper echelon, you know, UCLA, teams like that. Maybe a Syracuse sneaks in there and gets a good player out of high school, but North Carolina is always in the running for these really strong players. You know, these guys who've been exposed to tough situations and a lot of pressure already. Gonzaga is more of a wild card team in the sense that, yes, they've been good for a number of years, but they're not the number one team on a lot of 16-year-olds' lists. You know, Gonzaga has to get creative. They have to recruit a lot of international players. They have to try to find people who might want to transfer, who started off somewhere else and are disappointed with maybe they don't have enough playing time or something like that. They come to Gonzaga so that they can be a part of a winning team. And then they, you know, they make a difference and that team gels and they're a really strong team. So, I mean, looking at the game on Saturday night, you have a guy like Kennedy Meeks, who's a, you know, strong, athletic player. He was getting all the rebounds on Saturday. Really amazing to see him, like, outreaching three other players from the Oregon team to get the, you know, the key rebound at the end of the game. And I mean, I think Carolina just has too many weapons. Gonzaga has some good players, but, you know, Carolina has five guys who could take over the game and score 20 or 25 points. So we'll see who it's going to be. So that's why I'll go with Carolina for the championship.
Yeah, and North Carolina, with their coach Roy Williams, has a coach that has coached college basketball in the upper echelons. Even before going to North Carolina, he was with the Jayhawks, my Jayhawks at the University of Kansas. So he's coached some very storied programs. He has a lot of experience in these high-pressure situations. So we'll see about that tonight. And then the long-term crystal ball question, who wins the World Series this year? Who do you think's the favorite with three games completed in the season so far, 161 to go after yesterday and today?
That's such a tough question. But, I mean, last year's World Series is hard to beat. You had the Chicago Cubs with their long drought, the lovable losers. You had a team like the Cleveland Indians. I mean, just a couple months, well, 5 months or so before the World Series, the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James had won the championship. Cleveland was kind of on everybody's mind. So I think that out of like the 50 states in the U.S., you know, 49 were showing as rooting for the Cubs, and and Ohio was rooting for the Indians, and the Indians almost pulled it off with, you know, a 3-1 lead in the 7-game series. And game 7 was in Cleveland. It was such an exciting finish. I mean, the Indians looked like they were on the verge of rolling over, and they come back to tie the game in the bottom of the 8th inning. And then you think, oh, maybe they can win this game in the 9th, and then the rain comes. The Cubs get a couple runs in the top of the 10th, and the Indians can't quite come back. And now this year, everybody's talking about the Cleveland Indians and the Cubs again. I mean, it would be really pretty amazing thing if both teams were in the World Series for a second time. I mean, I think that's unlikely to happen. There's a lot of teams that people like the LA Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox picked up a really good pitcher in the offseason from Chicago and Chris Sale. The Indians helped their offense by picking up a good home run hitter from Toronto. So they also hurt Toronto because that's the team that they ended up beating to get to the World Series. So and then, of course, you've got the West Coast teams like the Dodgers and the Giants again. Those teams are always really strong. I mean, I think it's really up in the air. I mean, the Washington Nationals could have a shot at it, too. I mean, the funny thing about it is that there's always a team that comes out of nowhere. I mean, a few years ago, the Kansas City Royals were a surprise team in the World Series. So there could be a surprise team that, you know, upsets the whole thing. But, you know, maybe something like the Indians and the Dodgers with the Indians winning the championship. I'll take that.
All right. So, well, I'm going to say your Cleveland Indians against my New York Mets, who made their own surprise run to the World Series, losing to Kansas City a couple years ago. So we'll see. In about 6 months' time, we'll be back here. And if we're right, then we're going to be celebrating and rooting for our respective teams, but there's a lot of games to play between now and then.
Yeah, Andrew, it'll be fun to watch. Thanks for having me in to talk about it.
Of course. Thank you so much. My thanks again to Dan Friedel of VOA Learning English. And as I mentioned in that interview, Dan will be back with us tomorrow to talk about opening day, including some of the very interesting work he's doing today at the Washington Nationals home opener. So be sure to tune in for that tomorrow. And as we talk about this big 24 hours in U.S. sports, it's also worth noting a couple of the hashtags used today during these sporting events. Hashtag Caps On is being used by baseball fans across America and around the world as they put on their baseball caps and get ready for the new MLB season to begin. And one television station here in the U.S. is capitalizing on both the NCAA tournament and opening day baseball with hashtag Make Excuses Monday, encouraging their viewers to make an excuse to take the day off from work so they can get their fill of baseball today and college basketball tonight. Not sure how many people are actually heeding their warning and skipping work, but if they are, hopefully they have a good excuse. And that wraps up the April 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Dan Crafton, and thank all of you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington. Have a great opening day for baseball, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador to Rwanda, Erica Barks Ruggles, honored three Rwandan women at her residence to celebrate Women's History Month. The three women, selected from nominations submitted by U.S. Embassy Kigali's 40,085 Facebook fans, were recognized with the embassy's third annual Rwandan Women of Courage Awards for their exceptional service and leadership. Since 2007, the U.S. State Department in Washington has bestowed the International Women of Courage Award to inspiring women from around the world who have demonstrated exceptional courage, strength, and leadership in advocating for human rights, social justice, and women's equality and advancement. In addition, U.S. embassies in many places also present their own separate award for courage to women in their host countries. This year, the U.S. Embassy in Kigali recognized for the third year inspiring women of Rwanda. The three winners of the U.S. Embassy's 2017 Women of Courage Award are Chantal Munana-Yiri, Kabanyana Ketsia, and Gakire Jean-Francoise. Chantal Munana-Yiri is a successful businesswoman and CEO of Quicken C Ltd., an automobile business that specializes in painting. She is the first woman elected to be the president of Rwanda Garage Association. She is a co-founder of the Mother and Childhood Development Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the socioeconomic lives of low-income women and children. Kabanyana Ketsia is the president and founder of Dorcas Consolation Family, or DCF, a local humanitarian NGO which aims to equip and empower vulnerable children. Through DCF, she has worked with sex workers, teaching them how they can abandon prostitution and join cooperatives and support their families. She has demonstrated innovation, creativity, and selfless voluntary service to the community at large. Gakire Jean-Francoise is a laboratory agent at Saikabiri Medical Center for more than 20 years. An example to her community and to everyone that physical disability does not define what it means to be successful. Her leadership, strength, and intellectually rigorous work helps to overturn societal perceptions of people with disability and promote greater tolerance. By honoring women, Ambassador Barks Ruggles told representatives from the government, business, and NGO sectors who attended the reception, we show the next generation that they too can reach their dreams and change the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Van Dyke, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.